In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And welcome to Why Do You Think You've Got No Friends? My name is Emily Lang. I'm an actress, writer, singer, codependent, returnee from rock bottom, and a gratefully recovering addict. And this is the podcast where we aim to rid the shame, the highs and lows and deadly blows that ultimately led us to the lessons that we never knew we needed to learn, but are so grateful that we did. So my guest today needs little to no introduction. One of the funniest, most insightful, most incredible people I have ever met, and we are covering something pretty extreme. We know by now how much damage words can cause. And yet, ableist slurs are still thrown around so easily. My guest, Rosie Jones, and I are discussing all this and more today.
So it is 2019. Every time I say it, but what a year. God damn, what a good year. That fuck knows what was happening. I was in a relationship. It wasn't.
We didn't know what was about to happen.
Nobody. We were all in blissful ignorance. Flying to Barbados.
Yes. Speaking of blissful ignorance.
So right now in 2019, the big year before COVID, we are on a plane en route to Barbados for, I'm guessing, just like the vacation of a lifetime.
Yeah, we are in business class.
Shut up, you fancy bird.
Because it is going well.
Yeah.
For my dad. Honestly, if Rob Jones isn't paying, I'm in business.
You're in business class because Rob Jones is your dad.
Yeah.
Shout out to Rob Jones. Got any spare business class tickets? Hang on. Hit us up. So he's paid, your dad's paid?
Yeah.
And who's there?
Mum, dad, me. Right. It's a big three hitters. Brother, fuck off. Brothers in economy.
That's so funny. I think you're like, brothers, you know, staying home for work. He's like, no, he just didn't make the cut. That must feel good.
No, I'm joking. Brother, why was my brother? He is like a full-time traveller.
Right.
So I think right then he was in New Zealand.
Okay.
Probably an economy loser.
The big fat fucking loser.
Loser.
You idiot. Oh my God, that's so funny.
And I'm living the goddamn dream. Mm-hmm. I'm in business. I got my champagne. Mm-hmm. I got my nuts. Mm. Mum and dad.
Yeah.
I love a nut.
Yeah.
I do.
I don't, what was your favourite? Oh, this is a segue. Oh. What's your favourite nut?
Oh.
Alison Smith and I had a whole conversation about our favourite soup. So.
Yes. And I did say great way with soup is shit. Honestly. If you want to drink, have a drink.
And I don't want it hot and chunky.
Soup is shit.
I love it. It's my favourite thing.
Fuck off.
Right. Oh, here we go. Wait.
Barbados. Business. We're on the runway.
Yeah. Oh, shit. All right.
I got... Yeah, where did you think we were?
In the air?
No.
No.
Why on would I... Start the story in the air. We're setting off, baby. I'm going to take you in the air.
I want to go on the whole journey. Start to
right.
Yeah.
So, got my champagne, got my nuts,
yeah.
Got a spare seat next to me.
Right.
I got mummy and daddy about 3 rows behind.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk to them for 8 hours.
Who the hell does?
Are you joking? I want to watch Toy Story 4.
Yeah. Yes. 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 That, because that was actually going to be my next question, being like, what is on the list of movies? Because...
Well, you know you don't get access to the TV until that word you might die talk.
Yeah.
Do we still need that? You might
die. You know what's so funny? The amount of times I've been on a plane, I still couldn't tell you what to do if it crashed. I still couldn't tell you. I've seen it hundreds of times.
Where's your life jacket?
Under the seat. Yeah, that's all you need.
That's all you need.
Boom.
What do you do with your women stilettos?
Take them off?
Yeah!
What, actually, here we go. That's what do you do? What do you do if the masks come down and you have a child next to you?
You fuck them up.
You break that.
You sort yourself out. Every fucker for their own.
Oh, can't reach it. Sorry.
You should have grown more.
That sounds like a you problem.
So,
okay. Yeah, okay.
See, not so much.
Mm-hmm.
Until.
Until.
Until. On fucking till. A woman got escorted from economy.
Fucking hell.
I know, it makes me
your skin cool.
Like, why can't they just chop the plane in half? And we only fly with the gumbit.
Yeah. I mean, so, it's ridiculous. It's still going on.
A nervous flyer.
Is that all you have to do to get upgraded?
Yes. Fucking liability. To get into business class,
yeah.
I had to talk to my dad. At this point, I'd rather pay the money myself.
Yeah, 100%.
But yeah, apparently she was freaking out, going, oh, I'm nervous. Oh. an economy.
Yeah.
And comment that next to me.
Right.
But I thought, you know what? I'm a lovely lady.
Truth.
Namaste.
Namaste, yeah.
So I took my hand out of my cashew nut and I went, hello, and gave her a little wave, and she shat herself. And I was like, oh no, do I have a bit of cayenne pepper on my face? And I thought, oh no, it probably a palsy thing. Because it's fucked up, but even now, if I meet someone who doesn't know the context of me,
yeah,
who I am, and all they hear is my voice,
yeah,
they assume that they just think intellectually disabled,
yeah,
like underestimate me. It is shit.
Sorry, it's not funny, but that was fucking horrendous.
It's so just, shit.
It's shit. So shit. Stupid.
It is shit.
So shit.
Shit.
What a song to be the theme tune. Shit.
It's fucking shit. It fucking shit.
Rosie Jones the musical coming to a cinema near you.
Anyway, so I was like, you know what? It's her problem.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let it affect my 8-hour journey.
Yeah.
So I got on with my nuts.
Yeah.
We were still on the runway, so she got out her phone and started texting. And I fucking love reading other people's texts. I love it. Yeah. It's so great.
It's like how I love watching people take selfies on the bus when they do it from down here. Yeah. It's so fascinating.
And then I like to read it, try again, different And then after 10 minutes, I go back into the deleted folder.
Oh no, the first one was actually the best one. Oh, fuck.
Oh, no. So she started texting a guy, so I don't know, maybe a husband in the economy. And she said, oh God, it's really bad. They put me next to an actual retard. And then, sorry I said that word, it's my least favourite word. I'm only saying it because it's what she said. And then she continued and said, she's like an old school dribbler on the bus. And I read it and like my stomach dropped. And then like everything happened quite quickly after that. Like we were told to put it in airplane mode. We got the funny you might die talk.
That bit of the comedy, yeah, bit of the play.
Ready? And then we went up into the air. And I felt sick.
Yeah.
Because I was like, how can I sit next to someone for 8 hours knowing she thinks that about me? And not to that level, but I've had people shout things before. I've had, like, awkward interactions and I always avoid a confrontation. I think that is a combination between my personality and actually being a woman makes you go, well, being a woman, I'm already a victim. Being a disabled woman makes me even more of a victim. I just get out of this situation calmly and I won't cause a fuss.
Yeah.
But that is, like, that situation, literally being in a cylinder with someone you want to get away from for 8 hours.
In a cylinder getting thrown from one place to another.
Like, I was like, I got to say something.
Yeah.
I got to. And it was building up in me. And I thought, I won't say anything until the take your seatbelt sign comes on.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to get in a fight
and then be
stuck there.
Go anywhere.
Oh, okay. This is awkward. So as soon as it went bong, I took my seatbelt off and I turned to her and I said, right, I don't want to cause a fuss, but I saw what you wrote on the runway and I think it's absolutely disgusting that you use such archaic language when you describe disabled people. I cannot sit with you for this journey, so I'm gonna see if I can move. And I do this as a joke in my stand-up now and to, like, break the tension, I say, and also, I'm not a weird dribbler on the bus. We're on a plane. You retard. But I didn't say that. In reality, I was properly like, I read it. This is what we're gonna do. I can't say it. And then, oh my God, I had never been so convinced that we were animals because literally 2 seconds into me doing that speech, out the corner of my eye, I saw my mum stand up like a maker.
Oh my God, I love it.
And after she said she just heard the tone of my voice and she thought she couldn't hear the words, but through the tone she knew that I was in danger. So immediately I had Andrea Jones at my side. Mm. What a fucking legend.
What a fucking legend.
And I was so calm. Mm. So my mum didn't talk at all because she was like, I'm here if you need me, but you got this. And the woman went on the defense.
Right.
I didn't say that. I was calling myself a retard. And by this point, a hostess came over and I said, oh, there's just been a little disagreement. This woman had been ableist to me and using slurs. Can we move? Because I cannot sit next to her. And she was like, I didn't say that. And the attendant said, well, the way to solve this is, can I read what you read?
I'm so glad that happened. This is a whole fucking story.
Well, of course, it's a whole fucking story.
I love it. I'm so invested. What I meant is a whole fucking movie.
Can we read what you said? And she immediately went, no. She said, okay, if you won't show me your phone, I just think it will be better for everyone if you go back and sit in your seat in the economy. Meanwhile, my dad, no idea.
He's just watching Toy Story 4.
Loving life, he got nuts in his ears. He got no idea, but apparently he was sat near the curtain and when she went back, when she sat next to her husband and tried to, go, oh, this happened, he apparently went, just don't talk to me. You are this. So even he was like, why did you text me this?
Oh my God, the divine justice.
I never felt so happy to ruin someone's holiday.
That fucked it. Probably ruined their marriage.
How was your holiday, Linda and Steve? Well, it was great until Linda verbally abused a physically disabled woman. But you know what the topper is?
So I
was shook up. And also, we'll talk about this in a bit, but it really changed me in the way that I approach confrontation now. I don't like it, but I no longer avoid it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So if I disagree with someone, if someone upsets me or more often than not, if it's disability focused, I will go, no, that isn't on. You made me feel like this. In the future, when you talk to me or other disabled people, think about A, B, and C. And it's made me feel so much more confident in who I am. So I was quite shaken and my mum was sat with me and the air hostess came over. And she was so lovely. Brought me more champagne. Which, if you listen, that does help ableism for me.
If you
want to be less ableist, you just need to give disabled people champagne all day, every day.
And honey roast cashews.
And ideally, honey roast kisses. So she was say, I'm sorry about that. Are you okay? And I said, yeah, I'm fine. And then she looked a bit nervous and went, I'm really sorry. But, are you Rosie Jones? I went, yeah. She went, oh my God, you're my favourite comedian. I love you.
It's the fucking greatest day.
And she was like, honestly, when you got on, I freaked out and I thought, he can't be here, and I got to be professional. I was like, don't worry.
Oh,
and she said, can I have a selfie? And it was just a perfect end to such a sad, emotional time. But then that whole story, as well as teaching me about confrontation and sticking up for yourself, it also taught me about how I cannot control what everyone thinks of me. Like, in that little container flying through the air, there was one woman who saw me as this horrible disabled, like, incorrect but grotesque animal, and there was one woman who saw the exact same person and was like, she's my hero. So it's almost made me feel lighter in that I cannot control the extremes of feelings people will think about me. All I can control is who I want to be for me.
That's made me cry. That's made me, I had the coil done this week and I know my hormones are all over the place, but fucking hell, it's And like in sobriety, there's the serenity prayer of God grant me the serenity to accept things I cannot change, the courage to change things I can, the wisdom to know the difference.
Yeah.
It's something I've always really, really struggled with. Yeah. Really struggled with because yeah. I keep going like, but no. Because I want to, I want to be able to control this situation. I want to be able to control this person in the way that this person thinks of me. And obviously you can't.
No.
And it's just this kind of magic realization of going, there can be these literally two superlatives in the same environment, on the same day, in the same moment. And there is this woman who said something unspeakable.
Yeah.
Paired with this other woman,
fit.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
There's this other woman whose experience with you and encounter with you probably like made her fucking
year.
And then this other woman probably destroyed her marriage.
Same encounter.
And the release of control, the surrender around it of just like, and it's not, and I think I just talked about this recently about surrender. Often people confusing it by being like, when you say surrender, it's like, oh, just lying down and taking the blows. And it's not that at all. It's just surrendering the control of it.
Yeah.
Just being like, oh, I'll just take it and I'll just like lie down like a rag doll. Yeah. And you can say what you want and I'm not going to call you up on that horrendous fucking language. And of course you are. Because if you see something that you don't agree with and you have a moment to go like, this isn't okay.
Yeah.
But it's the surrender over their opinion. They're just themselves. It's that's,
and I think actually 3-4 years before that I would have also thought, oh, I'm upset, but I won't say anything because it'll upset her.
That's it. That's exactly it. I don't want to upset her. I don't want to ruin her day. My upset doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's more like, it's this, again, a thing of control of going, if I'm holding on to this thing, at least I can control it and it belongs to me. Whereas if I release it, it then belongs to somebody else and I can't control the way that she's feeling. And then like, oh my God, the plane's going to fucking go down.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be like, can be like that bit in Bridesmaids when they're on the plane and they all go fucking nuts. It's like it's the bravery it takes to release your own pain at the risk of upsetting another person, be it a complete stranger.
Yeah,
is a lot. Yeah. It does take a lot.
Yeah.
Especially when you're in a cylinder being thrown from one place to another for 8 hours with a movie.
Well, this funnily enough reminded me of another shorter, less tragic story, but it sums up the journey I've been on. I was on a plane.
Another one?
Yeah. All my stories happen in planes. And I just done my travel show in Scotland with AJ Adudu, who was incredible, my hero.
Yeah.
And we got on, and the flight attendant looked at AJ and went, "Are you her carer?" Like, to begin with, it's like, no, like, from presenting Big Brother, AJ and Dudu is not moonlighting as a camera. Like, no.
I just love it. You've gone, yeah.
Yeah.
Why, yes.
And AJ, we're friends, but we haven't known each other that well.
Yeah.
So she answered well, but awkwardly, and was like, "Oh, no, I'm her friend." So the flight attendant said, okay, you can sit there at the front line.
Yeah.
And just say she does away but never talked to us at all, really. And then again, what we just said, I think Patch Me would have gone, "Oh, that was weird." Mm. Also, quite funny. And AJ was like, "What the fuck?"
Mm.
And I was like, it happens a lot.
Yeah.
But new me, again, did not cause a fuss.
Mm-mm.
When the flight attendant came round and we were flying, I said, "Oh, just so you know, what you said when we came in, you were assuming AJ was my carer, not really talking to me, not really looking at me, not asking me what I require." That came across as quite rude. So maybe in the future, if he's speaking to a passenger with a disability, make sure that you are talking directly to them. And she was quite flustered, and she said, "Oh, I'm sorry." And again, previous me would feel shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That I made her feel like shit. Because she quite obviously, when we landed, she was embarrassed. She would have remembered that as opposed to, I don't think she would have remembered saying to AJ, "Are you her carer?" But I've now got to go, "No, it's not my burden." By explaining why I thought it was rude, I unburdened myself. And then hopefully I made her think twice about her doing it again.
Fuck. It is like, it is just the caring about yourself and valuing yourself enough to be able to give yourself the gift of unburdening something that has hurt you. Rather than keeping that and storing it like fucking nuts for winter. Like, I'll just take this out next time I'm feeling a bit cold and make myself feel a bit worse. Like, it's actually releasing that and sort of handing it back to the person who gave it to you in the first place.
going, oh, no, no, you put this on me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't want this.
Yeah.
There you go.
You can have it back, actually. Thanks very much.
My biggest realisation, which happened around 2019,
Massive.
But it during lockdown, I had the time to explore it more, was that term ableism. And I think we all know immediately what racism is, homophobia, sexism, but even now when we hear ableism, people aren't quite sure what it means, and it simply means a discrimination against disabled people. And it's such a wild thing for me as a disabled person to not have that word, not have that language for the first 30 years. So therefore, when I experience ableism, the two examples I've given today, I will go, oh, wait, it was my fault. Did I say hello more disabled than normal? When I got on with AJ, did I stumble? It's not her fault for assuming that I needed help. Oh, she called me that word because she's not used to disabled people. Blame.
Yeah.
But now I have the language. Oh, that lady was ableist. That lady used ableist slurs. That lady made assumptions, which is therefore ableist. It allows me to just package up that ableism and instead of swallowing it, I can now go, no, no, that's on you.
Yeah.
And it's so freeing.
It's so freeing rather than having to take the responsibility
yourself. Yeah.
Taking the responsibility of how you, or like feeling pressured about how you say hello.
Yeah.
Or
oh, how yeah.
You, when actually, no, none of us have to think about the way that we say hello and if we're going to be like fucking judged for it and then have something like that.
Yeah.
It's not, it should not be your responsibility. It is,
are
there. Their fucking burden, their shit, that they made that choice and they can either choose to amend those actions in future or they can just be a fucking cunt for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
That's not fun. Sure, Linda's
I wonder. I bet. I mean, it's not a bad place to be, but I wonder if Linda's still in Barbados because Steve caught up her passport and was like, you're not fucking coming back with me. See you, you ableist piece of shit. You know what? I did see them at the luggage area.
Yeah.
And you have. You know when you see a couple post-arguing.
Yeah. You can cut the tension with a knife.
It was. Oh.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Oh. It's just like. it's the knowledge that she knew what she'd done.
Yeah.
She knew it. She wasn't fucking sorry. She was sorry she got caught.
Yeah.
Because the fact that she went, I'm not going to show you, and no, I didn't say that, immediately, if she'd gone, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with saying that?
Yeah.
But like, no, she knew what she was doing was wrong. Therefore, what she's doing is it wasn't ignorant. It was just fucking, just disgusting.
Yeah.
There's no fucking excuse for it.
Yeah.
I fucking hope. I don't know what I hope for her, but I don't hope good things.
No.
Other than I hope the fact that she's never, ever used that word ever again.
Yeah, you know what? It wasn't a good ex-baby, but her reaction, I do genuinely think she wouldn't do that again.
Mm.
Because I think you can say it about a lot of discrimination against minorities. A lot of ism happens when it's not a person. We are deviating now, but when you think of immigration, people talk about boats.
Yeah.
Stop boats.
Yeah.
Because it's so much easier to say, let's stop an object.
Yeah.
Instead of going, let's help these people with feelings, with heart, with memories, with futures.
Yeah.
And I think when you make it a person, then it's much harder to discriminate.
It's much harder. It's much harder to ignore.
Yeah.
It's much harder to disassociate from it.
Yeah.
We choosing the easier option of thinking of boats and inanimate objects and not the what is happening in those boats.
Yeah.
Of the amount of people, the amount of children. It's so much easier to take a step when you just think about it as one singular thing that doesn't have a pulse.
Yeah.
100%.
So I think she was not on the same league to that, but if you compare that to that woman, she hadn't interacted with me, so she was able to use that word. Because I was just a disabled person to her.
Yeah.
I was just something out of her norm.
Yeah.
Not a human being.
Yeah. You didn't exist to her.
Yeah. Who went, no.
Yeah.
I know what you said.
Yeah. Did you find, when you were then in Barbados afterwards,
Also, that was my last holiday for 4 years. So if I known I would have taken every moment.
But who could tell what was coming after 2019?
Yeah.
Biggest year of them all. But in the time afterwards when you were there, Did it affect you? Did it affect your emotions? Did it affect your well-being at all? Or was it...
Absolutely not. And that was another turning point for me.
Yeah.
In that I remember when I was year five, so 9 years old, I went to the toilet and two older girls wouldn't let me in the toilet and I didn't have the language to say I'm disabled, I got a weak bladder, I need to go in. and I wet myself and they laughed at me and I didn't say anything. I actually think I apologize. I said sorry.
Yeah.
And I think about that more because it's all the things I didn't say.
Yeah.
And actually, they won't remember they did that because there were no consequences. But I remember both the physical shame of weeing and the psychological shame of going, why didn't I hold them accountable? Whereas on the plane, I have the release of going, oh, I put this back on her.
Yeah.
This isn't anything to do with me because all I did is say hello. So therefore, you have it. I'm having a lovely holiday.
Yeah, yeah. Literally all you did was try and be friendly to someone who was struggling.
Yeah.
In their own way.
Yeah.
Because they were nervous.
Yeah. So I think I do that more and more. I think as I get older, I'm picking a lot more internalized ableism. I'm picking apart my childhood and coping mechanisms. So that feels heavier, but on the whole, I feel lighter because I'm not swallowing all of those micro daily ableist acts.
Do you think you felt a certain amount of responsibility growing up to make other people around you as comfortable as possible?
100%. 100%. Absolutely.
Unwiring that when you've been programmed, when your brain is programmed to do that, unwiring that and reprogramming your brain is fucking
And I... What's hard for me is I literally don't know where it started.
Yeah.
I learned to walk when I was 4 years old. And my mum always says I was such a great baby. All the kids would be running around and I couldn't walk, so I'd be sat in the corner eating baked beans, smiling, I like beans. But actually, if I'm being serious, that was probably where it all started. I didn't have the thought process, but knowing me, I would have gone, I can't do that. But mummy and daddy look happy when I smile. And I think I've always done that. I've always gone, right, I can't run, but what I can do is I can make people laugh. I can read. I can do A, B, and C. So I mean, I hate magicians. They are creepy as fuck. Like, get friends.
Get
Like, get fresh. Stop being in your house with a
with
rabbit.
With your birds and
get
your rabbit.
Fresh. But I would arguably say that I'm the greatest magician in that all my life I've had this big disability and I'm constantly going, don't look here, look there. Look, here's a joke.
Misdirection.
Here's something.
Yeah.
So, it's unpicking the need that whatever room I go into, I need to make everyone feel comfortable around my disability.
Yeah.
Which is hard.
And I imagine exhausting beyond anything, the amount of energy you're having to put outwards and felt that you've had to put outwards to make other people comfortable and taking away from your own joy and fucking what's the word when you keep something going? I don't know, maintenance. Just keeping the gas working. It's like, it's really, really.
Yeah. But then, like, it's so hard because it's like my dad's really confident, my mum's naturally funny, my dad's an extrovert. So it's extremely confusing unpicking what traits are me and what traits are maybe created or embellished in order to survive.
Yeah. What traits are you, what are made as coping mechanisms and which ones are serving you and which ones aren't?
Yeah.
And it's really, really difficult to know which is, because sometimes the ones that really aren't serving you personally seem to be serving other people.
Yes.
And that's why they're very difficult to get rid of. Very, very difficult.
But then also, as I get older, nothing's black and white. We all live in the grey, and I love being a comedian.
You're a fucking good one.
Thank you.
My eldest brother who no one knows about.
the secret brother
who's a financial analyst and like has kids and has a normal life. We went to see, it was the one when you did the with the stand up with Jamie.
We came and saw that and we were like, God.
And my brother said that one of the best comedians he's ever seen in his entire life. And he said it was incredible and I was like, fuck yeah.
But actually, I love being a comedian and I think I'm good at it because of those coping mechanisms, because I can go on stage and I can sense how people feel around me and because I'm extremely good at putting people at ease and just having that inner confidence. It's knowing when those mechanisms serve me and when I can go, you know what, if you feel uncomfortable around me, that's on you.
That sounds like a you problem.
Yeah.
Same way with the kids on the plane when the mask comes down, they can't reach it.
That's a you problem.
That's a you problem. I'm going to fit my own mask because I'm sorry, the astronauts told me to. So, at this point in the podcast, I like to ask the question, what are the things about you as a person? We've talked about a few of them, but the things about you that you genuinely really love and cherish and are very proud of.
There's so many.
I love it when that happens. This is when Grace Campbell was like, I just fucking love it. I'm a big fan of myself. It's amazing.
I really think caught up what was said in the chat episode. I'm really proud that I can change people. I can judge what they need. I can put them at ease. I think I'm very emotionally intelligent. Yeah, I'm grateful for that.
That's, I mean, it is a superpower. It really is a superpower. A lot of people don't have it. I can think of some. And as well, we like to do a section called thank you letters, where we express gratitude for a person, a place, or a thing, or one of all three, or two, or one, whatever you want to do, but someone, somewhere, something for which you are grateful.
I've been there so many things I'm grateful for, but I think this chat, what we've been through, I gotta say I'm grateful for my mum, because right from growing up, letting me be whoever I wanted to be, right to the point, and we talked about it after, and she said it was her instinct to step in and go, don't do that, why are you doing that? But in that situation, she said nothing, which actually gave all the power to me. I could see her, but she just had the knowledge that I had this. And I think that is a metaphor for how she's been my whole life. She never waits in, she never tells me what to do or who to be, but I can just see her smiling, supporting me, and ready to bloody fight anyone I need to.
In no way telling you to hide or taking control for you or responsibility, just being like, I got your back, girl.
Yeah, like, just that power within the silence was incredible.
Keep looking over at producer Jess in the corner, because there's so many things coming out that's going to, like, I'm on the verge of tears. What are you up to at the moment that we can talk about? Or are we doing the chic thing of like, oh, well, there's stuff that comes
up? Oh, no, I'll tell you fucking everything. Oh, I'm the busiest lady in showbiz.
The busiest lady in showbiz.
I'm on tour at the moment. Nice. Starting next week, we go fucking everywhere. My show called Triple Threat. You can get tickets now. I am hosting a brilliant comedy show on Comedy Central, which is, we're making it now. It's called Out of Order, and it's fucking chaotic. And it's just been announced that I'm writing and starring in my own channel for a sitcom called Disability Benefits, about a girl with cerebral palsy. Oh, who is that? Who gets the benefits taken away from her because the government is fucking shit.
Yeah.
So in order to earn money, she starts stealing drugs.
Fuck you.
Because no one invisible disabled lady.
Just a tiny invisible disabled lady. Oh, God, what is going on? What, this whole thing?
So, yeah, I'm happy and busy. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. Thank you so much for coming today. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
We went
all the way down to Australia. Yeah. We went so deep down under. All the way to the core of the earth. Thank you so, so much. This has been just like the most incredible privilege and pleasure. And we're so thrilled to have you. And I will link everything below. Please, please go find Rosie wherever you can. Because she's fucking fabulous.
Thank you. Thank
you. Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.